have no fear before men. Isn't that awesome? We're going to, I think coming up, I've been spending a lot of time in the Gospels and just looking at some things regarding the kingdom of God. And so that's something that we'll be taking some time with in the weeks to come. But one of the things that comes up is when Jesus Christ sent out the 12. And boy, he talked about the great love. The great love that Jesus Christ has, or that God has for his people. And just points that out and then says, don't be afraid of men. Don't be afraid of men. Because that's the context of God knows the number of hairs on your head. Isn't that something? It's just such a great record. But I want you to turn, please, to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Last week we looked at some things regarding our calling and how that God has invited us. He's invited us to be his own, and he's named us as sons of God. Isn't that something? Something that is very, very clear from Scripture is that God, he identifies us as in being in Christ. He sees us as he sees Christ. We heard of manifestations. You know, your heart, let your hearts be free with me. Isn't that beautiful? You know, you're righteous before me. He's the one that's made us whole. This whole thing was his purpose. And it's his delight. This really blesses God. It really does. You know, and he worked very hard to reconcile man back to himself. And what I want to do is this morning, I want to spend a little time regarding, you know, our relationship with him and his exhortation and encouragement for us to walk as his children. And I wanted to begin here. We're going to look at some familiar scriptures, but I think that this is a good reminder. It's something that we should remind ourselves of often. Because the world is constantly knocking on the door, right?
Yeah.
It's constant. And sometimes it gets discouraging. You know, sometimes it just looks so hard. You know? And you just, that's when you go back to God's Word and you just rebuild this stuff and remind yourself. You know, and then you got a spirit and he's working in you too. We heard that in manifestations. You know, it's the Word of God, and we'll see that today. It's the Word of God and its Spirit. And he's fully equipped us to do this and to do it well. 1 John, I wanted to begin here. And this is familiar because we looked at this not too long ago. But it says in verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." None. He is light. "If we say that we have fellowship with him," and now that fellowship is, it's a full sharing, but it's that, it really speaks to the active, living, present relationship with him. If I say that I'm fully sharing with God, and walk in darkness, we what? We lie. We're not telling the truth. Because God is what?
Light.
And in him is no darkness. So if I'm walking in darkness, I'm not fellowshipping with my Heavenly Father. I am not taking advantage. I am not utilizing. I am not walking what he has made me, what he has given me. See?
Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is, comma, God's not in the light. He is light. See? As he is, in the light we have what? Fellowship with one another. One with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, this is how it should read, cleanses us from all sin. It's in the light that we have that fellowship with one another and with our God. Isn't that something? So with that in mind, we're going to look at a couple more very familiar scriptures. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Because what I want to look at today and where we're going to land is a little bit about walking as children of light. And a little bit about what that looks like. It's not going to be exhaustive, but I think it'll bless you. And just really, it's just a great reminder of who and what we are and what we represent. You know, let there not be a lack of light, because there's certainly no lack of darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5, well, I'm going to read verse 1. This is all tied together. But it says in verse 1, be ye therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now it's going to begin listing things that are outside of love, things that are outside of light, things that are outside of who God is. And I want to pick it up in verse 8. It says, for you were sometime or at one time, what? Darkness. Now this is interesting, because it doesn't say you were at one time in darkness. It says that at one time you were what? Darkness. You were darkness. Isn't that? That's pretty deep. You were darkness. Then it says, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as what? Walk as children of light. We want to represent he who is light, and in whom there is no darkness at all. Walk as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the light is what it should be. The fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving or putting to the test what is well-pleasing unto God. The Lord. This word for proving is kind of neat, because it's either that word or a form of that word dokimazo, and it's where you hold something up to the light to see its genuineness. Proving what is well pleasing unto the Lord. That's part of that, what it is to walk as a child of light. Then it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. For all things that are reproved are made manifest or visible by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. You know, there is nothing hid. Nothing before God.
And there's a day coming when, you know, all's going to be exposed for what it is. And those things are contrary to God. Those things are contrary to truth. And they're temporary. That's not who we are. That's not what we've been made as children of light. Okay? Then it says, wherefore, he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee what? Light. This word sleepest is going to come up again in a few minutes. But it's the word, I think in Greek it's kathudo. I think that's how it's pronounced. But it's, we get the word catharsis from it. And it means to nod off, to be unaware, to just close your eyes, just kind of lay down. And the exhortation here is, wake up. Wake up. Don't be aware. Wake up. And Christ shall give thee what? Okay. Then it says, see that you walk circumspectly, accurately. See, that's going to take being aware. That's going to take being sober. That's going to take prayer. Wake up. Christ will give you light. You're a child of light. Then it goes on to say, redeeming the what? That is not talking about time management. It's talking about living in light of the hope. Buy up the time, because he is coming back. This is going to come to an end. You are going to stand before your Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. So buy up the time you have. Isn't that beautiful? That's what it is to walk as a child of light. That's what it looks like. I want to go to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to spend a little time there. And this is a familiar scripture, I know, to you guys, because we've spent time here before. But we're not going to get real exhaustive here. But I want to go through this list as we read. We're going to begin in verse 1. Chapter 5, I'm sorry. What, God didn't tell you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. Chapter 4, of course, you guys are aware, he just walked through our gathering together, our hope. And then verse 1 says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they, as opposed to you, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travails upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You know, I always, whenever I read this verse, I picture a woman really pregnant, and she's just sitting there, just got her shoes off, maybe a cup of tea or something, and just, ah, we gotta go, boom. That's what it's like, peace and safety. Whoa! But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Now we're talking in the context here of that day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night. There's a lot of verses we could go to, but I just want to read, and you don't have to turn there, you can jot it down. It's Amos chapter 5. But it says, we are children of the light in verse 5, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. But there's a verse in Amos 5. It's beginning in verse 18. I'm just going to read it to you. Because this is discussing that time, that day of the Lord. And it's one of the places where it's described. You talk about a bad day. It says, "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord." Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light. As if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went to the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? Isn't that something? You know, we're not children of darkness. In Ephesians it said we were darkness. Now we are light in the Lord. We are children of light. That's who we are. Then it says, therefore, because of this, because we're not that, therefore, let us not sleep. It's the same word as we read in Ephesians. Let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Isn't that beautiful? For they that sleep, sleep in the night. It's that same word. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. So this sleep that is being talked about here, that cthudo, it's likened unto being drunk. You know? You ever had a little too much to drink? You know, you get kind of stupid, right?
Right.
Sometimes you do stupid things, you say stupid things, you're unaware, it's crazy. And it's likening it unto that, see? That lack of awareness, that lack of control, all those things, to be asleep. And as children of light, we don't want to be in that category. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of believing and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're appointed to. Isn't that something? Who died for us, that whether, and look at this love, whether we wake or sleep. It's the same word. It's not talking about being dead. He died for us. We're children of light. We've been named sons of God. Regardless of what we do. If I lay down and take a nap now, he died for me. But I don't want to lay down and take a nap. Because he gave me spirit. He gave me a word of God that I could believe and stand on, right? I don't want to lay down. I don't want to take a nap. I don't want to get caught up in darkness. See? Because this stuff is short. And he's coming back. You know? And I would like to at least get a thumbs up. Even if it's just from a distance, I'm good with that. You know, just one of these. Keep it. You know? I want to go down here to verse 13. And beginning in the last part of 13, and we're not going to go through these exhaustively at all, but you guys are familiar with this, but part of this children of light and waiting for the return of our Lord, you have 15 imperatives. And what makes them an imperative is they're imperative, or they're crucial to the matter at hand. And the matter at hand here is walking as children of light. So these things are listed as imperative to walking as a child of light and not being asleep. And it begins in 13. The latter part of the verse says, one, this is the first imperative, be at peace among yourselves. Isn't that something? Be at peace among yourselves.
Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Unruly literally here means to break rank. It's used of soldiers. And the idea here is that is where, somebody goes off and does their own thing, begins to do other than what Jesus Christ called them to do. Isn't that something? And the word warn is that word admonish. It's used in Colossians 3, where it's, we admonish one another in songs, hymns, spiritual songs. In Romans, it says that you are able to admonish one another. You know, really, that admonishing is, it's love. It's to share and speak God's word. See? And that's one of the ways we fight for one another. You know, sometimes saints, they break rank and they don't even know they're doing it. You know, they get off on something and they don't even know they're doing it. I can lovingly help that person. So can you. And we do it in love. I think we know that. We do it in love. You know, it gets more specific about some of these things in other places in the Word. But it's with love. It's with meekness. Because, you know, we're all in this together. Right? And that's the way we approach it. Then it goes on to say, comfort the feeble-minded. That word feeble-minded simply means those who are of little thinking. And it's little thinking due to being discouraged. Isn't that something? We're to comfort them. See? Help. Support. You know, somebody gets discouraged. You know, I don't stand next to them and go, renew your mind, come on! Have you ever been discouraged? I've been discouraged. You ever felt like, I can't do this? You ever felt like that? I felt like that. See, isn't this something, the children of light? That's what we do for one another. You know, the world hits you when you're down. We're the opposite. We comfort. You know, we help. It's just, it's so beautiful. It's simple. And then it says support. Support the weak is an imperative. And that word weak means it means to be sick or infirm. It is translated without strength in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. All of us were without strength. And God sent his son. Isn't that something? And then it says patient toward all. And that patient means slow to anger or to avenge. It's patience in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. I spent a lot of time with this. But this patience is in light of the hope. You know what? Keep your finger here. I do want to go to one scripture with this one. James chapter 5. James 5. Yes. Verse 7. In James 5, it says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Isn't that something? All of this is in light of his return. That's how we do this. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and the what? Latter rain. Isn't that beautiful? Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is drawing near. Ha ha! Isn't that wonderful? The coming of the Lord is drawing near. So be patient. Just like that farmer. You know, he gets the early rain. You know, when he gets the early rain, he doesn't run out. Oh, I got no crops. It's a failure. Nothing's going to grow.
I put all this work for nothing. What am I? No. Because there's more rain coming. Right? He waits till harvest. Isn't that beautiful? That's how we look at it. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. Isn't it great to remind ourselves of this stuff? Then it's where am I?
15.
Thank you. Be patient toward all. And you know what all means?
All.
All.
Everyone.
Ha! Isn't that something? See that none, and it should read, see to it, that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever, always follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. I'm patient toward all, and I don't render evil for evil unto anybody. You know, in Romans, it's give place to wrath. You know, this word evil means it's that which is hurtful. It's injurious. It causes harm. That's that evil. And as children of light, we never want to be seen like that. What a horrible thing to see a son or a daughter of God go down that road. You know, and seek to hurt. Seek to cause hurt. We never want to be that. Never. You know? Life's too short. And we got a Lord that's coming back. And it's drawing near. Really, it's just that simple. The word good is, it's used of things that are useful, that are honorable, and that are pleasant. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Right. So, we pursue that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. And verse 16, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Boy, this is a hope verse. This is a hope imperative. You know, it's in, we don't need to turn there, but it's in Matthew chapter 5. It's part of that Sermon on the Mount. Sean did a great little teaching on that stuff last week or whenever. I don't know. It was very recent. But it says, blessed are they who are hungry, for they shall be what? They shall be filled. Blessed are they that are insulted. Blessed are they when you're rejected by men. Why? Because of what they will have in the kingdom to come. Isn't that something? They're blessed then because of what is coming in the future. Do you understand? Rejoice evermore. A great example of this is in Acts chapter 3. When they were beaten, it says they rejoiced. They rejoiced that they could suffer shame for the Lord's name. Ah! Isn't that beautiful? But it's because they knew what was coming. They knew the time of their Lord was drawing near. And they lived in light of that. And that's what this rejoice evermore is. It's in living in light of that hope. And that rejoicing is never based on circumstances we find ourselves in. Rather, it's based on the reality of what God's made us in Christ as children of light. Isn't that something? Then it says, pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. It's just such a critical part. And of course, we can pray in the Spirit. We can pray with our understanding. And then it says, in everything, give thanks. Boy, isn't this something? You know what we're reading? Be patient toward who? All. Don't render evil for evil unto who? Anybody.
Anybody.
Right. Do good. Pursue good. You know, for all. That's how we see it. Here it's in what?
Everything.
Everything. That's an issue of the heart. See? That is somebody walking as a child of light, aware of their Lord, aware of his return. Isn't that something? In everything, give thanks. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're thankful for everything, but that in everything, you are thankful because of who you are, because of a faithful God and what he's made. Isn't that something? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Then it says, quench not the Spirit. We never ever want to suppress or discourage a saint from operating manifestations, operating or manifesting that life of God. And then it says, despise not prophecy. Which means to despise it would be to think little of it. You just set it aside. It's no big deal. We're not to do that as children of light. Then it says, prove all things. That's that word dokimazo again. Put it to the test. Hold it up to God's word. And then when you do that, hold on to the good and abstain from all appearance of evil as a child of light. And again, that evil are those things that are injurious. They hurt. And to abstain is to stay away from. So after the proving of verse 21, we stay away from things that are injurious. They cause pain or trouble to our walk or to the walks of our brothers and sisters in the body. As children of light, we know who we are and where we're going. That's how we conduct ourselves. Isn't that something? These are something great maybe to just to spend some time thinking about and committing to memory. Just how we conduct ourselves. And I'll tell you, the world is in desperate need of this. Just desperate need. So, okay, child of light, I love you. I'm going to pray.